This year is going to discuss the subject of Netilas Yadayim for bread and many other items that are related to it. One item that comes up very frequently, let's say there's once a day or twice a day or whatever number of times a day that a person eats bread for a meal, and there are many times that people are impatient or for whatever reason a person wants to taste something before actually officially starting the meal. We know that officially starting a meal, according to the Torah, means washing for bread. You wash for bread, you say Al Netilas Yadayim, the Motzi. That's the officially correct way for a Jew to start a serious meal. Now the question is, what if a person is very hungry and they want to just taste something, you know, before washing for bread, for whatever reason? This is a question. This is a topic that's brought up in Halacha, and the reason why it's a question is because we know generally, when a person eats something, whether it be a fruit or a vegetable or just about anything, it requires a bracha achrona. If a person is taking a drink of juice, let's say, before washing for bread, juice could require a berna fushes. Or a fruit or a vegetable or any nip of anything, you're running into a question of whether to make a berna fushes or not. Now, doing that immediately before you're going to wash for bread brings up a question whether the Birkas HaMazon that you're going to say at the end of the meal with the bread automatically covers that small piece of food that you ate before you washed for bread or not. And this is a very serious question, this issue of whether I'm supposed to make a Berna Foshes or not. Now, just to give a one-minute introduction, we know that the Vidui that people say in Davening, or especially on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when we say Oshamnu Bogadnu, it's brought that that vidui, that confession, follows the sequence of the Aleph Beis. Oshamnu begins with Aleph, Bogadnu is Beis, Gimel is Gazalnu, and so on and so forth. Now, it's brought that these words, which all basically mean I sinned, the reason why they're presented in this alphabetic way is that each one of them is supposed to include within it anything, any type of sin related to anything that begins with that same letter. For example, the word Oshamnu, which begins with an Aleph, is considered to be the major heading for Achila. Any type of sin that a Jew could have committed with Achila, whether it means eating something unkosher or something that you weren't sure if it was completely kosher, whether it means eating without making a bracha or making the wrong bracha in a case where a person wasn't sure what bracha you make on this or whether I'm supposed to make a bracha now or I was covered with a previous bracha. That's one of the major subjects that's included in the word Oshamnu. Bogadnu, which also refers to committing a sin against Hashem, it's brought that Bogadnu, one of the major items that Bogadnu deals with, is bracha. Specifically, now it's any type of sin that a Jew committed related to making a bracha, whether it's making a bracha when you weren't supposed to, making the wrong bracha, forgetting to make a bracha, waiting too much time in between finishing eating and making a bracha, all of those items. And the Meforshim point out that this alone, the fact that we're told that the first two words of the Vidui discuss eating and making brachas, that alone should give a person an understanding of how serious a part this plays in religion, in mitzvahs bein odom lamokim, in terms of a Jew's relationship with Hashem, that this is a serious item for a Jew to know how to eat properly according to the Torah, and specifically how to deal with making brachas. So that this item we would want to establish as a rule for an orthodox, observant Jew, and that is to avoid, when you know that you're going to be eating a meal within the next 10 minutes, I'd say, a person should not grab any quick bite of anything that requires a berna fushes. If we're talking about grabbing like literally a crumb or something like that, that definitely does not require berna fushes. But if it's anything more than an ounce, 1 ounce of any food or liquid, you would certainly want to avoid doing that before washing. Now, one of the suggestions that's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, what if accidentally I did this? Somehow I forgot, I didn't realize it, and I ate something before a meal, and then I know I have to go to wash 2 minutes later. What can I do to correct this? The answer is, there are a few different pieces of advice that are given. One piece of advice is that if the quantity that a person ate is enough to justify a bar nefashos, then what a person could do is make a bar nefashos in the room that they just ate the food in, leave the room completely, and take their mind off food for a few seconds, and then come back into that room, and then you would be allowed to wash for bread and start your meal. Again, this is not the best, this is second best. If a person did this already or a person didn't realize it. Another option, bidyeved, again, not as a first choice, is that what a person would do is they would go ahead and wash and eat the meal, and after they finish the meal and finish Birkas HaMazon, they would take a little bit of that item that they ate before the meal and make a bracha on it. Let's say it was an apple, for example. A person ate an apple right before they were going to wash. They would wash. In other words, let's say it's a circumstance where you can't walk out of the room and do what we said earlier. The person would wash, eat the meal, bench, take again a piece of apple, make a bar priya eitz on it, and eat enough to require a bar nefashos. And at the end, when making that bar nefashos, have in mind that if the piece of apple that I ate before I washed, if it required a bar nefashos, let this bar nefashos that I'm making at the end, after the meal and after benching now, cover the piece of apple that I ate now, plus the piece of apple that I ate before. Even if it's an hour later or something like that, in this circumstance, b'di'eved, it can be done. As far as cake is concerned, or for that matter, mizonos in general, if we're talking about mizonos, there a person can be covered by, there the Birkas HaMazon does cover mizonos that you ate before you washed. It's still preferred not to do it. The best choice is that a Jew should, if you're going to be sitting down to a meal in the next 5 or 10 minutes, don't eat anything before washing for bread. If a person did, you should know that in that case you would certainly not make, if you know that you're going to wash within 5 or 10 minutes on bread, you certainly would not make an ala mechia. What you would do is you would wash for bread, and the Birkas HaMazon that you would say at the end of the meal would cover the cake that you had even before you washed for the bread. Unless a person has a major pause, a substantial pause of, let's say, 10 to 15 minutes between when they finish eating that piece of cake and they go to wash, if you know that there's going to be 10 to 15 minutes, then you would make an ala michya on the cake and finish that parsha completely, then 10 minutes later go to wash for bread and eat your meal and make your Birkas HaMazon. It's important to know, just because people are used to hearing that most items in religion, when it comes to how much you have to eat for it to be considered covered, whether it be matzah on Pesach or mora, different things, we're used to the amount called a kezias. Kezias means the shear of an olive, and that's been translated into a certain minimum quantity, whether there's a liquid measurement that's defined for that, and also a solid measurement. The question is, when it comes to washing for bread, is that the shear also? And the answer is no. The minimum amount of bread, or matzah, or any item that you would wash on, that requires washing with a bracha of al netilas yadayim, is a kebeya, which means the amount that's equal to the size of an egg, which is larger than the size of an olive. If a person ends up eating less than the size of an egg, of bread or matzah, whatever it is that requires washing, you would not make al netilas yadayim when you washed for bread, when you washed originally. Which means, therefore, a religious Jew would never enter into this shaila. A religious Jew would never wash for bread or anything like that without making al netilas yadayim, which means you would make sure to eat at least the minimum that's required to have been permitted to wash with netilas yadayim, which means approximately half a slice of rye bread or half a bagel by American standards, what we were used to for that. And it means, again, a person would not play games in trying to get into a situation where maybe it's the right amount. For example, in talking about liquid, drinking, what's the correct amount of liquid that requires a bar in a fashos? In terms of making a shahakol, if you drink an eighth of an ounce of water, you're required to make a shahakol. The tiniest drop, you're required to make a bracha up front. As far as making a bracha afterwards, it requires at least 3-4 ounces, depending on what shir you follow. Which means, again, a Jew, a religious Jew, would want to be in the habit of never drinking anything between 1 ounce and 4 to 5 ounces. It's either I'm drinking less than an ounce, in which case I certainly do not have to make a borei nefashos, no question about it, according to all poskim, or I'm drinking at least 4 or 5 ounces, where definitely all poskim agree that I am permitted and required to make a borei nefashos at the end. That's just a side note. These are all cautions in knowing what we're doing to avoid chas v'shalom saying a bracha that we're not supposed to, or not saying a bracha when we are supposed to, within the required amount of time, which is 3 minutes or so. That quantity of time, if possible, try to hold questions to the end. As far as washing hands for bread or anything that requires netilas yadayim is concerned, a person must use a keli. A person must use a cup, and we'll discuss in a moment what type of cup. The only possibility otherwise is dipping one's hands into a mikveh or into a river, something like that, a body of water like that, where if a person toivels their hands, in other words, let's say a person's on a camping trip or something like that, where there is no way to get water that you can put into, there's no cup around whatsoever, and a person wants to wash for bread, you are permitted to dip your hands up until the wrist into a river or a body of water like that, and that can also cover for netilas yadayim. The correct type of cup to use is a cup that's perfectly round, which means no nicks in the top of the cup, no nicks, no chips, and also certainly no spout. A cup or a pitcher that has a spout to it should not be used for netilas yadayim, which means we want the water to be able to come out of any side of that vessel at the same height, not that one part of the vessel should be higher or lower than the other. The type of cup that a person is permitted to use for washing hands must be a cup that's capable of standing by itself. In other words, not something that has the type of round bottom, let's say, where it can't stand up by itself. Except, the only exception to this is, you know that there are certain paper cups or plastic cups that are cone-shaped, and they're made to insert into a plastic stand that holds them. They're made specifically for that purpose to be used in this type of stand. Bidieved, which means second best, you are allowed to, if you don't have a choice of a better cup, you are allowed to use such a cup. If there is a better cup around, like we described first, it should certainly be used. As far as how much water, the quantity of water to use for netilas yadayim, the Gemara does say that one of the rabbis, Rav Chisda, said that a person who spills nicely, that is, gives a lot of water on the hands, that's something that brings shefa to the person. That's something that can help a person out of financial trouble, or chas v'shalom to avoid getting into financial trouble. In fact, it's brought that the first letters of the pasuk of the bracha, al netilas yodayim, make up the word oni. Oni means a person that's poor, which means that this bracha specifically, a Jew being particular about how they deal with this, to do this properly in the right way, this combats against poverty, chas v'shalom. If a person uses 5 ounces of water or 4 ounces of water, that's definitely acceptable as far as halacha is concerned. Though some people might think, well, that means if I need enough water to cover my wrist, that means I need at least 16 ounces. The fact is that a revius, which means 4 to 5 ounces in the strictest, according to the strictest halacha, is definitely acceptable as long as you pour it properly so that you make sure it covers your entire fingers and wrist area when you pour. However, a person shouldn't shouldn't use 4 or 5 ounces. A person should use a washing cup that has, let's say, 16 ounces in it, 12 ounces in it to cover both hands. However, there is a warning mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch not to use a barrel. In other words, even water, a Jew is not allowed to show disrespect to. There is a bal tashchis by water also. There is a concept of insulting water in just misusing it, letting it run for no reason, or using any ridiculous amounts. It's interesting to note that Rabbeinu Zal says that a person who washes their hands frequently, that leads to a lev tohar, that purifies the heart. That there's definitely a connection between the two in terms of a person being particular to keep the hands clean. Righty versus lefty. Both of them wash what the world calls the right hand, the physically right hand first, and then the left afterwards. There is some controversy about how many times to wash on each hand. Our minhag in this, our psak halach is to wash twice on each hand, twice on the right hand, to pour water twice on the right hand first, then to pour on the left hand. A person must be particular to make sure that your hands are perfectly dry before you wash Netilas Yadayim. Before you start this process of washing your hands, you must make sure that your hands are perfectly dry. And even though we say that normally a person is not allowed to wipe wet hands or dirty hands in their clothing, because clothing is something that a person has to show a lot of respect for. You're not supposed to use clothing as a towel. This is the one instance where if a person has a drop of moisture on their fingers or a drop of wetness, you are permitted to wipe it in a skirt or in something that a person's wearing, just to get your hands perfectly dry to be prepared to begin the process of Netilas Yadayim. As far as using a vessel like a bottle that comes to a tight end on top, naturally that's not to be used for Netilas Yadayim. The reason being because when you pour water on your hands, all the water is supposed to come forth in one spurt. In using a bottle, it's something that's going to come out slowly. That's not acceptable. The same thing is, let's say, if there is no cup around whatsoever. A person's in a circumstance, they have to wash for a meal, there's no cup, or the only cup that's around is cracked, it's broken, which means it's as good as zero cup. What can a person do? The answer is, if there is a sink or a water fountain, what you're allowed to do is, if you're capable of doing it exactly the way we're going to describe it now, it's acceptable, b'di'evit. If not, if you do it a little bit differently, it's unacceptable, which means you must make sure to be able to turn on the sink real quickly in a burst, turn it on and shut it off right away so that the water that hits your hand comes down in one shot. In other words, in one spritz, you're bringing forth enough water, let's say that minimum of 4 ounces or whatever it is, in other words, to cover that entire finger wrist area and then shut it off. Turn it on again a second time to cover that hand and shut it off. And then do the same thing for the other hand, whether it be a sink or a water fountain. That is acceptable, b'di'evid, if there is no proper cup available. After a person has washed twice the right hand, twice the left hand, person is supposed to rub both hands together and lift them up towards the head. Lift up the hands as you're rubbing them together towards the head, not above the head. This is something that's brought in the Zohar HaKadosh, that at the time that a person is washing their hands, that's considered a time that a person receives the spiritual shefa for the meal, which means I'm going to sit down now and eat 15 ounces of food or 12 ounces of food, whatever it is in this meal. If I want to match that physically nourishing food with some spiritual nourishment, the way to bring that on myself is by following this procedure. The Zohar HaKadosh says that this act of lifting your hands up to your head implies that you're trying to draw upon yourself this spiritual shefa, which should complement the food that you're going to eat. The time to say the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, al Netilas Yadayim, is before drying your hands. Now, the reason for this is, Because whenever we make a bracha on a mitzvah, the bracha is always supposed to be made before the mitzvah is completed. Whether it be the mitzvah of lighting candles, whether it's going to the mikveh, whether it's being mafresh challah, any mitzvah that a Jew does, the bracha is supposed to be made before the mitzvah is done. The question is, in this case, why don't we then make the bracha before starting the whole process? Make the bracha and then start washing my hands? The answer is because we prefer to make, since the bracha here is related to washing hands, we prefer to make the bracha with the clean hands rather than the dirty hands before the washing completely. So what we do is we do it, we start the mitzvah in wetting the hands, but the mitzvah is definitely not complete until we dry the hands completely. So before drying them, we're going to be making the bracha al netilas yadayim. It's very important for a person to make sure that the hands are perfectly dry before starting to eat. And now this drying should definitely not be done in clothing. A person should not wipe their hands in any pockets or anything like that. And again, women are responsible to train their children that this is something that's forbidden. A person's not supposed to wipe dirty hands or wet hands in clothing, other than the exception we said earlier, preparing your hands for netilas yadayim just to take off a drop. There is an item that I don't know too many people that do it. Our Rebbe mentioned it and he quoted the source for it, which is the Chidozal, who was one of the major poskim in Shulchan Aruch, one of the leading Sephardic poskim, who says that a person between washing your right hand and your left hand, it is good to put the cup down. Which means, for example, a person lifts up the cup in their left hand, pours water twice on the right hand, and then you don't switch the cup straight from your left hand into the right hand, but rather you put it down on the sink or on the countertop first, and then the right hand takes it from there, picks it up, fills it up, and pours onto the left hand. That act of putting it down on the counter, on the sink, is brought from the Chidozal, and this is how our Rebbe Zichron Avrocha taught us to do it. If accidentally, in middle of washing, the hand that was already washed touches the hand that wasn't washed yet on the same person, or a hand or both hands that were washed already touch somebody else that's walking by, a child that wasn't careful and bumped into me, or my husband, or my wife, or anybody, a hand that's washed touches somebody else, if you already said al netilas yadayim, you definitely do not repeat al netilas yadayim. You are required to wash the hands over again, which means first drying them completely and then washing them. And usually, logically, this causes an explosion. Why did you make me do this? And a person should just accept that as Hashem giving them the chance to get a real big mitzvah for not exploding, not getting angry, and just being willing to go the other 60 seconds or 43 seconds for Hashem. I'm willing to dry my hands again and rewash them simply to show respect to Hashem. This is regardless of the bracha, you are required to wash over, but not to repeat the bracha again. If you haven't said the bracha yet, naturally, when you wash your second time, you're going to be saying the bracha for the first time. There's never a time that you would have washed and said al natir, unless you washed, said al natir sidayim, waited an hour and a half, and then decided to eat the bread. I'm talking about under normal circumstances, even if you touched somebody else's hands and you're being required to wash over, you said al natir sidayim, you do not repeat the natilas yadayim. There might be poskim that say otherwise. There's no question that there are poskim that stress not repeating the bracha, and usually we say sofek bracha is lahokel. One very important point, especially related to women, is that a person is not permitted to have any chatzitza during the time that you're washing natilas yadayim, which means from the time that you're starting this process, you have to make sure before you start that rings or anything like that is removed from the hands. We'll come to a moment to talking about a band-aid or something like that, but that articles like rings or things like that which would separate between the water and the parts of the hand that have to be washed must be removed completely. Until the person goes ahead and makes the motzi and eats from the bread or the matzah or whatever they're eating. Now here again, it pays to know that this applies also to dirt under the nails. If a person has any substantial dirt under the nails or in any part of the hand, that must be cleaned off before this process begins. Now the question is, what about if a person's hands are discolored? A woman was working with meat, let's say, or something else that made the hands turn red or different colors, whatever it is, paints, oil paints, anything like that that causes a discoloration in the hands. If it's something that the person washed, let's say a person got paint on the hand and they washed it off as well as they could, but there still is a slight clear discoloration, that's definitely okay. Definitely permissible and doesn't present a problem for Netilas Yadayim. If there is clearly actual ink or dye, in other words, you see that there is a little bump of ink or something like that there, that must be removed in order to allow you to begin this process of Netilas Yadayim. Now, it's interesting to note that the Shulchan Aruch does say a tradesman who works, let's say a painter, whose hands are covered top to bottom with paint during the day, when it comes to that person washing for bread, what's the halacha? Do we say, tough luck on you, you have to work 6 hours to get it perfect? The answer is here, the halacha says, that the only time it would not be acceptable is if the majority of his hands are covered with dye or with the paint or whatever it is. As long as it's not the majority of the hand, in other words, 50% or less has that discoloration on it, for that person it's acceptable. For a person who does this regularly, a painter, an artist, something like that, it's acceptable. Otherwise, it's not. Regarding a band-aid or a bandage that a person is wearing on the hand, here the criteria is if you plan to remove it shortly, then you need to remove it also for washing Netilas Yadayim. If it's something that you're going to keep on for another 12 hours or another day or something like that, a band-aid that's being kept on for a few days, that kind of thing, to keep an infection covered or a wound, you are definitely permitted to wash Netilas Yadayim while that band-aid is left on and it's not considered a chatzitza. Again, just to clarify a point, the Netilas Yadayim must be done through koyach gavra, which means what's bringing the water onto your hands must be human power, not a machine, not a sink. Which means you can't have a sink running and simply put your... You can't... The same thing would apply if, let's say, there was a barrel. And the barrel has a plug on it. Let's say, again, there's no cup around whatsoever, no kosher cup. And you have a barrel of water and the barrel has a plug on it. And when you pull the plug out, the water starts gushing out. The same concept would apply. You can't take out the plug and then leave your hand under it, and as the water's coming out, do the washing. You could take out the plug quickly, and in that first burst of water that comes forth, have that go on your hand, put the plug back, take it out again quickly. First 2 seconds of water that comes out washes the second washing, and so on and so forth. The point here is that it must be koyach gavra, human effort that's bringing the water onto your hands, not that it's going by itself or through gravity force or anything else. There are people who have heard of an item that if your hands are completely covered while you're eating bread, for example, if a person's wearing gloves and they're not touching the bread at all, it's possible to get away without having to wash your hands. The answer is the only time possible that's acceptable is only if a person is not at home, if a person's traveling, person's on the road, number one. Number two, there's no water available within an area of 4 miles. It's got to be a minimum of a parsa, which is approximately 4 miles. Number three, the only food that's available is bread. There's no fruit or other things. That's the only time that you would be permitted to eat, you know, in this manner, to eat bread without having washed Netilas Yadayim, keeping gloves on so you're not touching the bread. Because of the fact that the rabbis say we're afraid, if we would allow you to do this, you might forget yourself in the middle of eating and take off the gloves,
and touch the bread and handle it, and then you would be doing an Avera. Therefore, this heter should never be used other than the case of emergency. Persons traveling. Yes. One important note, in cases where a person goes to the bathroom before washing for bread, right before they're going to be washing for a meal, and we know that coming out of the Beis HaKiseh requires washing hands, and we know also that eating bread requires washing hands. Can a person combine it with one washing? The answer is no. A person should wash the hands first separately for the ashiyotzar, for going out of the bathroom, and then a separate washing for bread. It would pay to mention that I've seen many, many people who are makbid not to wash their hands for asher yotzar inside a bathroom. They're makbid to have a sink outside of the bathroom to wash their hands there. And number two, makbid to use a cup in washing hands for asher yotzar coming out of the bathroom. Our Rebbe Zichron Levracha, who was very far from being a makel, in other words, just taking a lighter view in every case or in any case, held clearly that a person does not need to use a cup, a washing cup, for washing hands coming out of the bathroom, asher yotzar, and number two, that it is acceptable for a person to wash their hands for asher yotzar inside the bathroom. This does not mean by any means that if somebody does it the other way, they're doing anything wrong. It does mean that if somebody says, hey, you're not allowed to wash your hands in the bathroom, that person hasn't learned enough. They don't know that there are opinions that say, serious opinions in Shulchan Aruch, that say it definitely is permissible. Especially since today's modern bathrooms are very, very different from the type of Beis HaKiseh that's discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. I don't want to get into the technical details now, but there are definitely vast differences in how it's processed within the bathroom today from the way it once was in terms of an odor being in terms of all kinds of details. And therefore, it's just good for a person to know what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, what's forbidden according to everybody, and what's definitely acceptable. A person has to know when to say you're doing the wrong thing, or when to say that this is one opinion and that's another acceptable opinion. Good to know that if a person dips fruit in water, fruit or vegetables for that matter, in water, there are poskim that hold that that requires netilas yodayim. Just like eating bread requires a netilas yodayim with a cup, etc., so too if you're going to be dipping fruit in liquid or dipping a vegetable in liquid, as we do at the Seder night, we dip a vegetable into salt water, there are poskim that hold that that requires netilas yodayim. It's based on the Gemara's discussion about water being mixed with food, being mixed with hands, and how it creates a situation of tumah. Halacha l'maisa, we do not follow that. In other words, today, if a person were dipping it for whatever reason, we do not wash our hands other than the Seder night. The only time that we follow that halacha of washing our hands, and even then, you'll remember, we don't make an al netilas yodayim, that's for sure. When we're dipping the karpas into salt water, even though we're doing an urchatz, we do kadesh, urchatz, karpas. Right before the karpas, which we're dipping into salt water, we're washing our hands and not making a bracha. That's not related to Pesach. It's related to this halacha of dipping fruit or vegetable into water and that requiring netilas yodayim according to some poskim. Question if a person is... Netilas, without netilas yodayim, you should wipe it off. You should wipe it off. Notice, you are permitted to dip, but there's no netilas yodayim for sure on fruit or vegetables dipped in water. Yes. Not, in other words, only at the Seder night. That's the only time we do it. I said there is a poisek, or there are some limited poiskim in Shulchan Aruch that mention this. The majority hold that there's no netilas yodayim, and that's what we follow. The question comes up, what if in the middle of a meal, especially if a Shabbos meal which extends over a longer period of time, what if a person has to interrupt the meal to use the bathroom? does that interrupt the netilas yadayim that a person made on the challah or on the bread in the beginning of the meal? The fact that a person entered into a beis hakisei and then came out from there, does that create an interruption between a netilas yadayim and not? The answer is, there are many poskim who say that if a person goes to the bathroom in the middle of a meal that they washed for bread, they're required, in order to be able to continue eating bread in that meal, you're required to wash over again and make a brocha al netilas yadayim. However, there are some poskim that say no bracha, no al netilas yadayim again. And those poskim conclude by saying v'chein nohagim. And this is what people follow, that they do not make a bracha again. And therefore, lemaisa, that's what should be done. Now, this is referring to a person using the bathroom for gedolim, which is what we know in English as number two, that item. That's where this requirement is for netilas yadayim, washing over again without a bracha, assuming that you're going to be continuing eating bread within that meal. While we're on the topic of bread, a very critical halacha for women, for children especially, and also for men, is that a Jew is required to be extremely careful about bread, even bread crumbs. The Gemara says, and the Zohar HaKadosh says it in a very strict way, man dezorak pirurin denahamo, a person who chas v'shalom allows bread crumbs to fall on the floor, they're not careful when they're eating or when they're cleaning off the table, and they allow bread crumbs to fall in a place where they're going to be stepped on or anything like that, anias rodaf abasre, that person is inviting poverty, chas v'shalom, in a very serious way. And this is something that a Jew has to know, especially when dealing with bread, matzah, those types of items, cake, things that generate those types of crumbs. Person has to be careful to eat it, not to eat it while walking, so that there aren't crumbs falling, and even on the table, for the adults to be trained, and especially to teach children what the Torah calls manners, to be very particular not to deal with crumbs in a disrespectful way. Also, very important advice. The Gemara says that from watching a Talmud Chacham, you could learn many times much more than even the technical halacha reading in the Shulchan Aruch itself. Our Rebbe Zichron Levracha was very makbid when it came to bread, certainly challah on Shabbos, that the father, the one that's doling out the portions of bread or challah, should do it intelligently, giving each adult and child a portion that they're capable of finishing. Once that portion is given out, adults and children should be trained to finish it. Bread, challah, matzah is not something that you train yourself to eat two-thirds of it or three-quarters and leave over a piece and throw it out. It's one of the most serious forms of bal tashchis and disrespect to food, particularly when it comes to bread or bread-related items. If, in a case of emergency, once in 3 years, an incident happens where they miscalculated, in that case, the bread should never be thrown into the garbage directly, but rather should be wrapped up in a tissue, in a plastic bag, and put into the garbage, not like you're throwing something away as waste matter, but as if you were putting a respectable item into a receptacle in order for a person to avoid poverty. Literally, Rachmona Litzlan, this is the wording in the Torah. Notice, Hashem doesn't threaten. The Torah is generally not written in a threatening way. There are a few mitzvahs in the Torah where the Torah does say clearly, do this and you're going to get this particular type of patch. So that if a person is naturally, whenever the Torah says something like this, it can certainly be assumed that if a person is careful related to this item and works extra hard to do it correctly or to train children properly in this, certainly the opposite holds true, that the shefa, that the ashirus, the wealth that a Jew is supposed to have, will be coming to that person. Especially since, just to tie, it's always good to show a connection between what a person is learning and the parsha of the week. This week's parsha, which deals with Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea, one of the major byproducts of Kriyas Yamsuf that took place was that the Jews received the entire wealth of Egypt. Egypt was the wealthiest country at that time in the entire world, and they were very, very rich, and the entire wealth of Mitzrayim was transferred over into the hands of Bnei Yisrael at Kriyas Yamsuf. The question is, why? What for? What reason would a Jew have for wealth or for money? And the answer is, you'll observe that this took place, this loading up of their pockets with all of this wealth and money took place immediately preceding Matan Torah, the Yidden receiving the Torah on Har Sinai. That's exactly when it took place. And Rabbeinu Zal brings in Likutei Moran, as do other Sforim, that in order for a Jew to be zeichet to the full measure of his Boinonus HaTorah, of really getting to understand the full depth of Torah, and being zeichet to be Mekayim, to follow all the mitzvahs of the Torah properly, a Jew needs wealth. The majority of mitzvahs in the Torah do require money, whether it's tuition for children in yeshiva, whether it's buying an esrog, a lulav, a shetel. Any item, just about any item that a person does for the sake of a mitzvah requires money, and that's the way it's supposed to be. That is the way Hashem designed the religion. He wanted us to use this very precious item, money, for serving Him, for doing mitzvahs. And therefore, the Torah showed that when it came to the Yidden receiving the Torah on Har Sinai in particular, and that was the momentous occasion when they were really accepting the whole Torah upon themselves, part of the introduction to it was that they needed a large sum of money, a large quantity of wealth to be able to do it. So we see that it is important for Kiyum HaTorah and for Izbeinenus HaTorah for a Jew to be Zeichet HaShirus. One of the keys that the Torah says clearly to being wealthy, or for a person to have what they need, certainly to have all their needs covered, is Zehirus, being particular and being careful about these mitzvahs, specifically washing hands properly, al netilas yodayim, which we said in the beginning that the Rosh Tevois of al netilas yodayim make up the word oni, which implies that this is the tikkun, this is the preventive measure for poverty, chas v'shalom. And number two, being very careful, especially when it comes to bread, to treat it with the right respect. A Jew is never allowed to throw bread, chas v'shalom. If a person's giving bread, let's say there's a long table and a child is sitting at the other end of the table, or an adult, and a person's too lazy to get up and walk around and hand it to the person, and rather they throw it across the table, that's a major sin. An important side item, the first slice of bread that's being distributed as a response to Abroch of Hamotzi Lech Menoretz, you're not permitted to put into the hands of the recipient. Now, let's say, for example, at a Shabbos meal, the one that's slicing the challah slices a piece of challah and wants to give it to their wife, to the child, whoever it is. It's forbidden to put it into the hand of that person. It must be put down on the table, and then the one that's getting it picks it up from there and takes it. One of the reasons that's given is that the Torah says, by the laws of Avelus, that when a person is mourning, put the bread into their hand. So that's a sign of, that's a symbol of Avelus, where a person has food put into their hands. Whereas if a person is not an Ovel or doesn't want to invite Avelus, the correct way is for it to be put on the table. Halavai we should be zeichet to the opposite of Avelus, to see only Simchas by Jews, and to see the Ashirus Dikdusha that's destined to come to Bnei Yisrael. If the Gulas Mitzrayim was supplemented with wealth, we know that for sure it doesn't compare in any way whatsoever to the kind of wealth that Hashem is going to bless Bnei Yisrael with in this final gula, which we should be zeichet to see now in our time. B'mehirah v'yameinu, amen v'yameinu.